You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 23. I'm Logan.
And I'm Jackie. And this week we talked with Kimberly White, who is the internship coordinator at Birmingham Southern College. And it was just her 1 year anniversary. So happy anniversary, Kimberly. Kimberly has a lot of Birmingham pride. And I don't just say this because she works at Birmingham Southern. It is all over her blog.
Kimberly is a huge Alabama fan, as you will learn during the podcast. But we also talk about higher ed. Kimberly talks about her Leadership Friday series on her blog, which inspired some really great discussion. And we also talk about Pinterest, which is not my strong suit, but Jackie and
but
Kimberly.
I love it.
Oh, yes. They love it. So anyway, we hope you enjoy this episode. And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes.
Great. All right. Well, I'm glad that worked out. Technical difficulties are no match for the Higher Ed Social podcast. That's for sure.
Never. We are clever in our use of technology and our devices. Yes.
Yeah, of course. Well, we're in the day and age where anything is possible. Thanks, technology. Even Logan can pay for things using his wrench now. That's a thing. Okay, that's cool. Well, the only other thing now is that we have to have an animal like interrupt us because generally either my cat, well, Logan's cats generally don't, but my cat generally interrupts the podcast. So, do you have any animals?
Oh, no. No I pets? Don't at this time. I would love to have a dog pretty soon, but my schedule is just so all over the place, the life of being in higher ed, that I would feel bad leaving it behind by itself or, you know, having it in daycare all the time. I just, that's not a life.
Yeah, I know someone who has to drop their dog off at doggy daycare every day they're at work. And it's like, that's so much money and you're away from your little friend. Yeah. It's so sad. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think it is too.
Logan, have you had anything other than cats in your life?
Yes, I've had dogs and I've had various other animals. Guinea pigs. I had a whatchamacallit. What is it?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember.
Did you have a hedgehog?
Yes, that's it. Hedgehog.
I knew someone I knew had a hedgehog.
Oh, wow.
They're so cute. But I hear they smell kind of bad.
Oh, he wasn't so bad. He didn't smell that horrible.
Aw. Do they like, are they confined to like cages or can they just like roam around?
Well, they can roam around, but it's best to put them in a cage. They get into stuff. They are quite nocturnal, though.
Really?
Yes.
Did your hedgehog run on little, like, hamster wheels?
That's yes, actually.
Aww, so cute. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So if you want, you can introduce yourself however you'd like. If you want to talk about your work or your life, whatever. But you can go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure. So I can get started talking a little bit about my work and then kind of, you know, go on a tangent a little bit away from it. So sure. I serve as the internship coordinator at Birmingham Southern College, and I think sometimes that title is a little bit disingenuous because I oversee the program development and administration of the program, but it was a totally new position and a totally new process. So I was, when I came on last year, responsible for taking a bunch of pockets of semi-structured internship programs across departments and kind of bringing them together into something a little bit more robust, something that involved an academic component, critical reflection, more innovation inside the classroom, and professional development. So we're slowly getting to a process now where I feel like we have a good structured framework, but that's kind of the main set of duties that I take on during the day is just overseeing the process, creating policies above ground, and working with students on the ground, which is my favorite aspect of it, serving as an academic advisor, a career advisor, an advocate for these students, and, you know, those kind of related duties. I also serve as the BSC campus advisor to our chapter of the Pi Beta Phi Fraternity for Women, which I just love doing. I work closely with them on providing professional development opportunities, leadership development, through workshops, through activities, through advising, and, you know, just being a part of their process and working with them on their events, on their philanthropy events, those types of things. So I kind of get that student affairs and academic affairs experience since my office, in the Office of Experiential Learning, which we call the RISE 3 Initiative, it's an acronym, lives under academic affairs. I get to do a little bit more kind of student affairs related stuff. So that takes up most of my time.
Yeah, sounds like
it. But otherwise, it has been a process. Some of us jokingly say, you know, 1 year doing a role like what some of us do feels like two or three. In good and bad ways.
Yeah. So how long
Very
cool.
So I was just saying it's been enjoyable.
So I noticed you said you were finishing up your master's when we were talking earlier. So how long have you been in this position now that you're so busy?
Sure. So my 1 year anniversary is actually tomorrow. My post will go out about what I've kind of learned this past year. So this role has existed, and I've been in it for the past year, and I have been in Birmingham for a little bit longer than that. I moved here actually before graduation. I missed out on my master's graduation to explore the Magic City, but it has very quickly become my home.
So where in Birmingham do you live? Just curious. I mean, I know Hoover, and I know Birmingham, and that's about it.
Sure. So I live right in the downtown Birmingham area. There is a neighborhood called Avondale. It used to be an unincorporated town and has since kind of, well, not since, over 100 years ago, became incorporated into the city of Birmingham. Uh-huh. It is an up-and-coming area.
Yes, it is.
I'm not sure if you know where Avondale is.
I do.
Yeah, so I live a stone's throw away from the Avondale Brewery, which we frequent pretty often. Craft beer is definitely a hobby of mine.
Yes.
And I'm kind of in between Avondale and Forest Park.
Okay. See,
so
I
in Avondale.
I go through there a lot. Because my family lives in South Georgia, so I take 65 down and drive through Birmingham. And Birmingham is almost exactly halfway. It's a little bit farther. It's a little bit closer to Nashville than halfway, but it's one of my more favorite places to stop. We stop in Hoover at the big mall there, especially Christmas time because it's real, you know, Christmassy. But there, it's pretty. I don't know. I like that mall. Never remember the name of it, but I know how to get there. I have a few friends that live there, too, from my days working in Dell. I had friends that ran stores down there. So lots of fun.
Very cool.
I like Birmingham. It's definitely come a long way in the last 10 or so years. I know I talk about Nashville a lot on this podcast, but Birmingham's a whole lot like Nashville in a lot of ways.
It is. I have been to Nashville many, many times just in my life, and I love Nashville. I think it has a really wonderful character, and of course the focus on music and just on localness.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what if there is a term for
there
that,
is a term
but
for
Birmingham
localness.
Is very similar in that way.
One of the coolest things that I like about Birmingham is the fact that it is not like the rest of Alabama in a lot of ways. But at the same time, it still holds that kind of hospitality that you see in the South. But at the same time, you know, it's a more up-and-coming place that, you know, is fun to visit. And one of your, if I remember correctly, one of your towers, they decorate with, like, in the windows, like Christmas trees and stuff.
Yes. Yep, you'll see that picture all over the internet. There's that one, which is right, that building is right in the heart of downtown. You'll see a lot of pictures of our light tunnel. I actually just walked through there last night after the Birmingham Barons game. I'm going to walk off in the ninth inning win. They are one of the affiliates of the White Sox. But the tunnel is right next to their field. That's a big, I guess, a tourist attraction. We're not really a tourist town, but that would be, I guess, one. And Vulcan, which I have an unnatural obsession with, but he is a tall cast iron statue, and he is mooning Homewood, which is a suburb of Birmingham, which I love. I think it's hilarious.
That's really great.
That's awesome.
So now I need to travel down. This is like the second episode where someone from Alabama has made me like semi-jealous, or like from the South. It's made me jealous that I'm up in New York. So I'm going to have to travel.
Well, there's only really three places in Alabama that are really cool and awesome. There's Birmingham, Montgomery, and Mobile. Though a lot of people would say, oh, you should go to Tuscaloosa.
You space camp in Huntsville.
Yeah, there is space camp in Huntsville. I've been there so many times, it's not even funny. I used to live in Pulaski, Tennessee, so Huntsville was where you went if you wanted to do something.
That's sad.
Yeah, because Nashville's too far away.
Aw, how sad.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with your assessment, at least for big towns, but of course, because Alabama is very near and dear to me, it really does run through my veins.
Even as it does towns, for most people might that live in Alabama.
It does.
So, yeah, I was gonna say.
So I do have to ask the question. War Eagle or Roll Tide?
Oh, Roll Tide, till I die.
I knew the answer to that one. I have no affiliation with either, but I knew that.
My partner went to Alabama, so that's a big part of it. He and I started dating when he was still at Alabama. He has since transferred back in state in Georgia. But, yeah, no, we're pretty big Alabama fans.
Well, you got to be one or the other. You got to be one or the other.
Oh, you do. You do not get a choice. You got to pick. You can't just say, oh, I'm a fan of all of them, or, oh, I just love football. That's one of the first things that somebody's going to ask you, even in Birmingham, where I feel like we're pretty split, but still people choose a side.
Yep. See, in Tennessee, it's not like that. I mean, you're either a Tennessee fan or a Vanderbilt fan, but the Tennessee fans don't pick on the Vanderbilt fans. They just say, oh, I'm sorry for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You see, Jackie, in the sports ball, Vanderbilt Vanderbilt always loses, except for, like, 2 years where they didn't.
Listen, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan in the NFL, so I understand, like, what it means to be, in this case, a Vanderbilt fan. So I sympathize.
Yeah, they're the Buffalo Bills of the SEC.
Well, now I'm a Vanderbilt fan just for that fact. But now I do pick Roll Tide always.
You see, in the South, you're either, you know, you're a team's fan, you're SEC team's fan, and then you're an SEC fan, because, you know, the SEC always gets, you know, especially in basketball, cheated according to SEC fans. But, you know, you can't be good in both football and basketball. Just saying. What was that?
Oh, I just said, I think we just focus most of our time and energy toward football.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
A lot of sense. Well, yeah, I saw all of your Birmingham pride on your blog, which is kind of how I creepily like found you. I had to go on the podcast.
Very cool.
But yeah, it was so funny because like I was looking through your blog and I was like, oh, this is cool. Like I noticed, which I'm sure I'll like grill you on, is your Leadership Fridays series. And you have, you know, life in the Yellowhammer State, you have a whole Birmingham section, and then you have this little like Birmingham bloggers like cute thing. And I was like, wow, this girl's either like kind of crazy or like there's a lot of Birmingham pride. And now I realize that you're not crazy and it's just Birmingham pride. But what is the Birmingham bloggers? I was trying to look into that, but I was a little unsure. So what is that you're a part of?
Sure. Just as an aside, so part of the reason why I started posting about Birmingham, because this blog that I started was going to be chiefly about higher education, but I wanted something that was a little bit more unique. And when I was researching just things about Birmingham, attractions, places to eat, places to see, when I was coming here, everything was outside of the city center. It was Homewood, it was Hoover, it was Vestavia, and all these other really great places, but the city center does not get the love I think it should get, given our history, given just the recent resurgence of, you know, just local business and local focus. So I wanted my blog to focus almost chiefly on downtown, partially because of that and partially because I live here. But Birmingham Bloggers is a group of mostly ladies who blog about the Birmingham area. So they, almost all of them, live in the central Alabama region, and we provide opportunities for networking, for just development. They host social media workshops, they host photography workshops, and those types of things. But they also do, you know, networking events, little parties that are mostly sponsored by local businesses here. So it's a great way to meet other, mostly other ladies in the area, but also to learn more about different businesses, especially kind of up-and-coming ones. The one-year bash that we went to earlier this year on their one-year anniversary of this blogging ring had so many fantastic places, you know, restaurants and different shops and little kind of gift shops and things like that that sponsored the event. So I got to learn even more about, you know, just Birmingham. So that's one reason why I like it. And I just love reading these other blogs because they run the gamut in terms of what they post about and what they talk about. But the kind of common thread between the 100 or so members is that kind of some of it is that Birmingham pride, but it's also just the fact that we all live here and it kind of permeates into what we all talk about, whether it's a lifestyle blog, it's a higher-end blog like mine, or it's a food blog, or it's something completely different.
Oh, very cool.
So it's a blogging ring, basically.
Gotcha. So some of these members are actually not blogging specifically about living in Birmingham or events, but they're just blogging about their life, you know, and they happen to live in Birmingham?
Yeah, there is a section dedicated to folks who just talk chiefly about Birmingham and about what's going on in the city, but the vast majority are mostly lifestyle bloggers from what I've noticed, and I think food and cooking blogs would be probably second place in terms of how many folks kind of comprise those little groups.
Oh, that's very, very cool. What a neat, yeah, that's a really neat network. I've never seen a network like that, so that's very, very cool. And so do
yeah,
you contribute?
I've seen a couple of others, but so I've seen a couple of others, but none as kind of robust and I guess close-knit as ours is.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm scrolling through right now. We'll definitely link to this on our website. But yeah, it's really, really cool. I see all these like cool events, and you were mentioning workshops. They have some really cool workshops that are lined up. Very neat. Blogging 101, photography. Have you ever considered hosting one of these workshops?
Ooh, maybe, I guess. If I have something to contribute.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, we all have something to contribute. Yeah. I'm sure you do, too.
Very true.
Cool. Very, very cool. So how do you find a balance? Because your blog is, you know, you kind of are up in the front about that it's leadership development, but you also talk about, obviously, Birmingham and your life. So how do you find a balance of content? Do you plan that, or do you just kind of roll with it as it happens?
Sure. It's kind of a mix of both. I do roll with it. You know, I have a notes app on my phone where as I think of different post ideas, I just write them down really quick. Inspiration strikes me when I'm blow drying my hair, when I'm in the middle of a meeting. I don't let my phone out then. But yeah, so, you know, it comes from a variety of places. In terms of the balance of what I post, I do try to post more focused on higher ed just because of what I choose to share about myself. I know, and we talk about this all the time in our generation, and some of those big name bloggers out there who blog full time, they post so much about their lives that sometimes I feel like they're living to post, and I don't want to be that way. So I love posting snippets about Birmingham. I'm actually working on a post about the farmers market here in town at Pepper Place. So it will be a little bit about the history, just about a weekend trip I took up there this weekend. Though I go there all the time. It's a really great farmer's market. So I'll talk about things like that, but I try not to get too personal outside of work just because I want to focus on living life.
Yeah.
And not looking to post.
That is a good point. I mean, I also blog more of a balance. I don't have kind of a theme. It's more my theme is more just being a 20-something growing up type of theme. So I actually kind of lean more on the personal side than I do the professional side. So it's interesting to see how you balance that. But I'm noticing a lot of your posts are mostly kind of like your opinion on academic theory, which I think is kind of a cool, interesting thing to do, probably because you just finished your master's. So you are still in the learning mode. But yeah, with my blog, I've been, and I'm kind of like taking notes from you right now, like about you know, how to find the balance and how to figure out really what your content is. Because sometimes, almost like you said, like I look around my life and it's like, all right, I feel like I haven't posted in a while. Like, what's happening in my life that I can talk about? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that stretch. And I know it's like, people don't want to read that when I'm forcing content. I don't want to write it.
Right.
So it's hard. Do you have a consistent schedule? Do you say like, okay, I want to post, you know, twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays, or do you just kind of fit it in?
You know, for a while I didn't. And then when Leadership Friday started in April, I kind of began thinking about a more consistent schedule because they come out every Friday. They come out every Friday at the same time in the morning. And they'll be posting all the way through August. And who knows, it might even go further than that. So I started posting every Friday. And I knew I would have a post once a week, every week for the summer. And I've started posting on Mondays because I feel like you get started in the week and I talk about something and then I kind of finish out the week and talk about leadership. And then if I have a lot of posts that are drafted, I'll do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I just did that for consistency's sake. So I wasn't posting back to back 2 days in a row. I feel like that might be overkill a little bit just for me and my comfort level. I also worry if I do that too much and then later on in the year when I'm really busy and I'm hard up for content or something like that, I'll feel like I'm having a stretch, like I have to do more and think about more things to post. The Pepper Place Market example is a really great example of, you know, I went and, you know, we walked around and we shopped and we got, you know, big pitcher sweet tea and, you know, it was just this really nice time. And then I thought to myself, oh, this would be a really interesting post, but it wasn't the other way around. And I worry if I post too much or I've established a consistent schedule that's like every day that I would start doing that. So I try to be very careful.
Yeah. For me, blogging has been the bane of my existence.
Why is that?
Because I suck at it. I'm so much better.
I know you have something to contribute.
Yeah, everyone can do it.
But I'm so much better at the short form. And when I say short form, I mean dealing with social media and stuff like that.
So, like, though,
even on my personal accounts lately, I've had a lot of trouble, like, even keeping up with them to some extent for the simple fact that I do social media and the internet all day long. And by the time I get home, I'm just like, I don't want to do this. So, to be honest, I mean, the blog for me, and even, I mean, Jackie knows this, I know how to do blogs. Like, I can code, I can web design, I can do all that kind of fun stuff. I mean, I did the higher ed social website. But
that's a great website, by the way.
Thanks.
Well, you know, it's a nice little theme that we found. That
go check it out if you haven't yet. Higher ed.social.
Yeah. But that's kind of why I wanted to do higher ed social, and that's why it was kind of a...
Mm-hmm.
A thing for me when Jackie and I first started talking about this was this is actually something I can commit to because I'm so much better at talking than I am at writing long paragraphs worth of things. I mean, I used to blog back when I was in college, but it was, you know, personal life stuff, all that kind of stuff. And when I blog, I want to feel like I'm contributing to something. So I like to think of Higher Ed Social as, you know, my contribution to things, even though, you know, it's me and Jackie, but it's the perfect mix for me because when we talk to our guests like you, we talk about both life and work and kind of how those two fit together. And I think that's one of the most awesome things about this podcast. Not to toot my own horn and Jackie's horn too. Yeah, so this is if I ever were to make a blog, this would be the kinds of stuff that I would want to talk about. But it's really hard to have a conversation in a blog post without looking like you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, don't worry, Logan. I think this is a fine contribution, and I don't think anyone's judging you for not having a blog.
There's people out there.
That judge you?
I don't think so. It is a good contribution, though.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I know especially through, you know, our work with Essay Rights, which is a hashtag and also was a conference presentation by some fantastic colleagues of mine at ACPA and NASA. We talk about how everybody can blog, everybody can make a contribution, but, you know, I think it can be tough. I think, you know, coming up with content, coming up with posts that are, you know, robust and maybe your own personal standard of writing, you know, that might not be for everybody. I think that a podcast is a wonderful contribution to our field and just to networking and just talking through things like work-life balance. So, you know, I know that there might be some people out there who, you know, judge others for having a blog or not having a blog. But in my opinion, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it well. I know that if I tried to do a podcast, it would be all me talking because I love to talk. So that's the written word is my contribution.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like finding your strength. Like I, you know, if I mm-hmm. wanted to make a YouTube channel, I would do terribly on it. I know it. I would do terribly. I have terrible video editing skills. Like, you know, I appreciate my form of writing, which I have a very conversational form of writing in my blog. You have a more professional form of writing in your blog as well. And so, like, it's all about whatever fits you best because that's how you're going to contribute mm-hmm. the best.
I think that's how how you should always look at anything social media, whether it's a blog or a Facebook or a Twitter or a LinkedIn or whatever. You do what you're most comfortable with.
Yes.
Professionally and personally. I mean, I hate Pinterest for the simple fact that it's good for finding birthday presents for people and recipes.
You don't plan your future wedding?
No, I don't.
And decorate your
And I don't plan what kind of fitness clothes I'm going to wear or,
you
know, what kind of clothes I would love to have or
I feel like Logan is personally attacking me right now because this is exactly why I use Pinterest. And so...
I'm just, it's why I use it too, Jackie. We should
yes.
follow each other on Pinterest first.
We
off,
need to. I'm going to go.
I'll be honest. I'm just joking. Presents, Pinterest is great. I just, if you look at my Pinterest account, which I'm sure someone will go and find, you'll find pictures of cupcakes that I find funny and lolcats. And that's what I did on Pinterest for like 3 days.
It's your own personal, like, style. It's what you like. Like, you don't have to fit any thing at all.
I have a lot of social media burnout at this point, though. So,
so I
understand.
I do want to ask you too, Kimberly, when you mentioned it, and then we kind of tangented on Pinterest. I don't know how we landed here. But you mentioned
yeah, that's the point of this podcast. Where did we land?
How did we get there?
How did we get here?
You mentioned your Leadership Friday series in your blog. And I thought that was really interesting because, one, that's actually how I noticed your blog in the first place was seeing one of these posts. So I wanted to ask you, basically, like, what's the deal? Like, where did this inspiration come from? And, you know, like, how's it going, I guess? Like, what's the story?
Sure. So it came out of a conversation with a colleague of mine who does a lot of work in leadership studies at another institution in the area, and we just got to talking about servant leadership and how it resonates so deeply with both of us. And she is one of those people. I mean, my true color is very heavily blue, but I think she's even more blue than I am. She probably scores like full blue. But she's one of those people that's just so inspiring. She's so sweet and she's so encouraging that when I got off the phone with her after talking for, you know, over an hour just about servant leadership, I just felt compelled to write. And I didn't even think about it as a blog post at the time. I didn't really know what it was going to look like, but I just wrote. And I reflected on what servant leadership meant to me and what Greenleaf's teachings meant to me. How have I interpreted it in my own work as a full-time professional? So I talked about my involvement with Pi-Fi, with how much it's changed me, and I always say they have given me so much more than I could possibly give to them. And I was reflecting on that statement, too, and it turned into this, you know, maybe 900 or so word essay. And I sent it to my friend. I said, look what you did to me. And it got me thinking, you know, what other aspects of leadership resonate with me and how can I become a better leader as a result of either reexamining or examining this literature if it was new to me and just seeing how have I applied this so far? What have I done with authentic leadership? What have I done with positive leadership? You know, how do I use these approaches in my work? And it emerged into Leadership Fridays. You know, I love leadership. It's something I've always really enjoyed just reading about, studying, reflecting on the side. And it just came at that perfect time that I thought, let's just see what this looks like. So let me introduce folks to different theories and just talk about what it means to me and how I've interpreted it. And I noticed when I started doing, you know, maybe the first two or three posts, I was by far getting the most hits on those topics of discussion about leadership. And I think that's really when it turned into a series, because I said, I can talk about resume writing. I can talk about engaging, you know, students in getting them involved in internship experiences all day long, but so can everybody else. And a lot of other career-minded folks are doing that. And I felt like this would make it a little bit different. I'd be bringing a unique perspective, and people seem to like it. That was really what made me keep going. People seem to like it. Let me write down what really, I'm studying on the side.
Yeah, that's like a really cool reason to keep going, to keep doing it. Yeah, yeah. I think it's really neat. Like I mentioned, we'll obviously link to this as well in our website.
Great. And I started including resources too, mostly because some of these theories were new to me. A lot of them I had examined at different levels in graduate school, and, you know, I've examined them in my work, but I didn't put all of that knowledge together before. It's just me kind of looking at different articles and books just over time. So getting them all in one place was really helpful for me, and it seemed to be helpful for other folks. So with every post I do as a reflection on leadership, I include resources, whether that's a video, that's a book, that's an article, you know, kind of taking that theory and bringing it on down to the ground, things like that, that I think might be helpful, especially for folks who this theory might be new to.
So you mentioned to us earlier, while we were talking before the show, about a leadership conference.
Yeah, so this is something that is brand new, and we'll see how it goes this fall. But I started hosting workshops on professionalism, just generally professional development, last year, my first year at Birmingham Southern, because I thought it would be a really nice component to the internship experience. And they were good workshops for the folks who went, but getting our students who are fantastic student leaders, but they're so engaged in so many different things that it's hard to grab their attention for one event. And I was hosting, you know, maybe up to 4 or 5 events per semester. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about how to refine this program and wondering how I could maybe incorporate some of just the things I do outside of my, you know, quote, 9 to 5 back into my work to serve our students better. And I thought to myself, why don't I just stick these workshops into one Saturday morning that hopefully doesn't have any big football games going on, because that's always tough in the field of fall.
Gotta plan around the football games.
You're
in Alabama,
do.
You have to.
Priorities.
It's not about priorities, Jackie. It's about football.
I now understand.
It is a religion. It truly is. We'll lose our students. I mean, they'll go to the games. I mean, shoot, I get asked the most all weekends in Tuscaloosa during football season. But, you know, I found a date that I think might work in October. But, you know, I wanted it to be a Saturday morning dedicated to both professional development and leadership, because I think leadership is something that's really important for our prospective and current interns to just consider, you know, how do your learning styles and working styles interact with what you view leadership to be and what you view it to mean to you. I think that's a really important thing. And, you know, a lot of our business students are focused on entrepreneurship, so I think that this is another draw for those folks in particular, that this will be open to all disciplines. So I just wanted to kind of take what I thought was going well and what we did last year and make it better and make it more accessible to our students. So it's not a Friday when they are at their internship or a Tuesday during common hour. We have an hour twice a week dedicated toward going to events, going to different, you know, cultural opportunities and lectures. So there's no classes at all those days. But everybody's competing for everybody's attention during the common hour or during a Friday when we don't typically have classes, but students are doing internships. So I said, let's do this on Saturday morning and see what happens. So this is going to be our first annual leadership conference. I will be talking about it on my blog, and hopefully it'll go well enough that there will be a second.
Yeah, very cool. Good luck.
Yeah. So thank you. I appreciate it.
So this is a bit of a curveball. So
this is scary. I don't know what's happening.
Cartman of the Night.
Oh, yes. Cartman of the Night. That hashtag gives me life. It is so silly, and it just makes me smile every time. I met Brittany at NASA, and, you know, we hung out, a bunch of us, over lunch, and she is one of the most sarcastic, funny, and kind people I know. And we just made a connection right away, and we were able to kind of, you know, just make her feel welcome in the NASA community. And then after the conference was over, I wanted to keep in contact with folks. Like, Sarah Ackerson and I are really close, and we became closer as a result of NASA. But Britt and I became closer, too, because one night she just sent me a picture of Cartman, and I just lost it because I love South Park. It is one of my favorite TV shows. And I said, I got to send you one back. That's really good. And it turned into something, our daily ritual, where, or nightly ritual, depending. Well, we just send each other a photo or a, you know, video even, or a GIF of Cartman doing something stupid, something ignorant, something hilarious. And we always surprise each other. And I get excited because I've seen nearly every episode of South Park. So I never know what she's going to bring to the table. And it's funny. I like that other folks are fans of it, too.
Yeah, it looks like it. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today for the show. Thanks again, Kimberly. We really appreciate you being on the show. To all of our listeners out there, if this is the first time you're listening to the Higher Ed Social Podcast, go ahead and visit us on our website at highered.social.
If you love this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the website or in iTunes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. Send us a message. We love your feedback. And if you want to be on the show, send us a mention. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great evening.
You too.
Or whatever time of day you're listening to.
Whatever time of day you're listening, yeah.